it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
We've got ourselves in a little bit of a rut. It's not just the O-line, it's just us in general. And I'm going to refer back to what I said. It's not just them. We got to coach better. We got to scheme it better. Got to call it better. Got to execute better. And I know I'm a broken record. And they're a part of that. Everybody's a part of that. Just like we're all part of it when it's really good. A rut's usually small. You know what I'm saying? I mean, then maybe it's a ditch and then maybe it's a canyon. But right now we consider that a rut. You know, we just got to get ourselves. It doesn't take long. I mean, there was a few opportunities come Sunday that would have got you going. What's going to get us going? What's going to be that spark?
I'm honestly not worried about it. I'm just focused on this Sunday. If you probably asked me last year, I probably would honestly tell you that it would be something that would bother me or get to me. But I've grown closer in faith to God, honestly, and I know that he's in control, man. And everything that's going to happen is going to be written. It's already done. All I got to do is go out there and just continue to work day by day and put my best foot forward.
Zach Orr, Ravens defensive coordinator yesterday, beleaguered, under fire.
Mm-hmm.
Ravens defensive coordinator. One of the many comments we're going to hear from him, but he did admit that year ago he's facing heat. He's probably running hot, hearing levels of criticism for sure.
Yeah, and he says the thing that he's got to do is stay off of social media and everything. But the reason I had Nolan do it back-to-back was because you kind of hear how a pro does it with Todd Monken, where he takes, you know, I got to do a better job this. We got to, you know, we got to coach better. We got to call it better. I got to call it better and all that. Whereas Zach Orr never does any of that, basically, you know. I mean, that when I listened to the interview, Bob, I said, that was awful. That was amateur compared to a pro, you know, and he doesn't know how to handle what he's going through right now. And you know what? And that tells you that he's not ready. He's not ready for this job. That's kind of the way.
Well, he's been on it for over a year. So
yep.
If we're going to go to the, and I'm not disagreeing with you, by the way, if we're going to the, well, he's still young and inexperienced, nah. Not really. I mean, he was going through this a year ago.
Oh, badly.
And things stabilized. And after the bye, as we've discussed a bazillion times, they were one of the best defenses in the National Football League. This year, they've been bad pretty much since the third quarter of the Buffalo opener.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just gotten worse and worse as the weeks have progressed. And they can't generate pressure. They're not creating turnovers. Guys who have been in slumps are having monster weeks. And now you're taking on an offense Sunday. That is good. Nobody's really struggling. So it's not going to be like somebody's coming out of the doldrums. You're just going to have guys that might level up beyond their already impressive stats. So I'm not buying if anyone wants to call in at 410-583-1057 and defend him for these comments. And look, I believe in God. We're Catholics.
Yeah, right.
Me and
right,
you.
Yeah. No doubt.
Might not be the greatest Catholics. I violated most of the Ten Commandments. That's out of killing somebody. But we get it. We are all God-fearing people. And if you want to rely on faith, that's up to you. I can't judge or criticize one way or another. But in that setting, it's like you said, Todd Monk, it's like, we suck.
Yeah.
Basically, and Zach Orr kind of needs to
take accountability.
Why are things so bad?
Right.
Explain why through 5 weeks things are where they are.
Yeah, Todd's talking about fundamentals and guys not taking the right steps and doing all those things, you know. And Bob, in one of the clips, he talks about the one thing that I want to do is I want to get the passion back. I mean, come on. You're the Baltimore Ravens. You know, I mean, that's what they're known for is the passion and the toughness. They don't have it. And that comes, to me, a lot of it comes with confidence.
Yeah, and he should generate the passion. He played for the freaking deep end.
Bob, what do they say about that D coordinator from Detroit? You know, he's all, you know, he's the one is like their leader. You know, he gets them going, the D coordinator from Detroit. And they play hard. They play passionate and all that. Same with San Fran, Sala. Same type of thing.
Sure.
You know.
But at some level, too, Vinny, because you coached.
Yeah.
You need to self-motivate.
Hey, Bob.
I mean, I don't want to be embarrassed out here. I need Zach Gore to put a foot up my ass to get me to play better.
The thing is when your team is struggling, you're teetering on your confidence level. How do I get my guys some confidence? Because right now, they're playing on their heels. You know, that's what they're doing. They're not playing on their toes. They're not playing, you know, excited. No, they're waiting for something bad to happen. That's what they're waiting for right now. And that's the mindset that they have right now. And the same with the offense. I mean, when the offense was rolling last year, they didn't care. You know, hey, anytime, any place, sure, we'll come play. But defensively, it's totally different. And they've got to get that cockiness, arrogance back. And especially defensively, you know, I mean, that's where you got to be the dog. You know, they don't have anybody playing like that right now.
And just go back to last game in particular. Houston marches down the field on their first drive.
Yep.
They were done defensively.
Yes.
They were done. Ravens answered with a field goal, but after that,
they were done.
They couldn't match.
No, because
what Houston was doing.
Then Houston just took it right down. And then you're standing on the side. Well, Look at Harb's on the sidelines, you know?
Yeah. I did not see the Denny's menu.
No.
By the way.
No, no.
We had a guy call in earlier this week.
So yeah.
Where's the Denny's menu?
So right now they're all searching for answers, Bob, because, I mean, just like us, we're saying, how did that happen so fast? You know, that they're this bad. I mean, we talked about it Monday. That's the worst loss I've ever seen the Ravens play defensively. And offensive line and stuff, they were, and it was like they shut it down, you know? I mean, I've never seen a Ravens team do that. And that's why, Bob, if they give up 30 points in defense, Zach Orr's gone. If I'm a betting man, I'll bet whatever. Zach Orr will be gone.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Pinterest Artist Friday. We'll break that one out for you. Coming up in a couple of minutes, you want to get in. It looks like a lot of you do. 410-583-1057. Get you into all of that good stuff. It's Vinny, Haney, Nolan McGraw, Ravens 7.5-point dogs. Still banged up in a lot of areas. Marlon Humphrey came back, but he was limited, whatever that means. Ben Cleveland was sick, Vinny. I'm sure that breaks your heart that he didn't practice yesterday on the offensive line. But we'll discuss that. Maryland tomorrow, taking on Nebraska, 3.5, 3:30. 6.5-point underdogs. And weather might be a factor for both Saturday and Sunday, it looks like. Because checking the weather forecast again on Bob Haney, not Bob Turk. Looks like the rain might start to percolate a little bit tomorrow, right around kickoff, or at the very least, into the second half here in Maryland. And it looks like Sunday, rather. It's going to be. Yeah, it's going to be.
And windy. Now, Bob, who do you think the rain favors for the Terps, Nebraska?
I would go Nebraska.
Really? Because, I was thinking Terps.
Well, Raiola can run. I think they're a little more physical at the point of attack. I mean, Maryland's, look, they withstood because we all questioned the line of scrimmage. How's the O-line going to hold up? And for the most part, they did against Washington. I thought play calling got a little haywire into the third quarter and fourth quarter, et cetera, et cetera. But Malik can run too.
Yeah.
But Maryland's running game outside of him is non-existent. And I think Nebraska brings a little more ammunition to the equation. But we'll find out tomorrow at 3:30. But with the Ravens, we know their issues there. Derrick Henry's disappeared for 4 weeks.
This is
unacceptable based on the offensive line. Baseball playoffs last night. Phillies lost a heartbreaker, and we'll get into all of that. Ryan Ripp going to be joining us at noon. It was he choked. He did, Nolan. Real quick before we hit the break, this kid
Kirkering.
It was ground ball to the pitcher. Once he booted it, And I, whoop, whoop, like the Lost in Space robot, not the robot humps. Danger, day arms are flailing. Riamuto's like pointing to first. I mean, but we're not in that situation. Bases loaded, two outs, tie game, tense, great playoff game, by the way. Both pitching staffs were incredible. But he had, Davey Johnson, rest in peace, he had a brain fart.
Yeah. I think the bases being loaded got in his head. That he's thinking about the runner on third more than he's thinking about just recording one out.
Yeah, and bases loaded, you pitch and play, and Ryan will tell it, and Bordy said it, and it's you and the batter. It's, you know, right. It's ground ball bat. If there's nobody out, he just turns around casually, hoses him at first.
I mean, if I'm a pitcher in that situation, bases loaded, 11th inning, this is it, our season on the line. I mean, what a gift to get a soft dribbler back to the mound. I mean, that, I just feel bad for the guy, but man, all time, not just recent history, all time gaffe.
A Buckner-esque, but Buckner, Red Sox still had a game 7 to choke away, which they did. That was game 6, which had already been tied, but we can get down baseball history as things roll on, but we'll talk to Ryan about that. And, you know, Ryan's a compassionate guy. I'm more of like, the bleep are you thinking about?
Right.
You know what I mean, and I'm sure those, the Phillies, so let's see, Padres, Phillies, they're both gone. Got the Blue Jays still cooking, but now you got Seattle and Detroit deciding game coming up, 8 o'clock. That's going to be fun. And that tomorrow, the Cubbies and the Brujas.
Yeah.
And that's going to be another one. So National League, American League, we got one team in each league alive, ready to advance, but we'll see what goes on from there. So it's a busy sports week at Penn State, too, last night.
We lost 6-4.
To who?
Carson.
What?
Yeah. It wasn't. Bob, we're up. We're down 1-0. Then we go up 4-2. And we had one guy, J.J. Weebush, who's Charlie's winger, get 4 goals. First time in Penn
State.
Four. He got 4. Yep. And Charlie had 3 assists on the goals. And they're a veteran. Those types of teams they play with, the only way they can compete is have like 23-year-olds, 24, older guys. That's sure. How they compete. You know, they get the kids from Canada because they're upstate New York, Clarkston. And they're a hockey school. They scored four in the third, Bob. I mean, it was embarrassing. I mean, we put out our second power play. They scored on them. They scored shorthanded. They scored. Yeah, it was like.
Did they take them lightly, perhaps?
Bob, like Becky texted me. She said, "How's it going the first period?" I said, "Sloppy." I said, "Sloppy." You know, it was bad. It wasn't. There was not a lot of energy. You know, which is kind of sad.
We got to take a break. We'll get into it in the whip. But it was banner night.
Yes.
Home opener.
Yes.
Maybe they did overlook Clarkson, which I didn't even know existed as an entity. We'll come back, take your phone calls, 410-583-1057. Vinny's giving Zach Orr the business for his responses to the questions yesterday. You agree or disagree? And your predictions for the games. Ravens 7.5-point dogs, Terps getting 6.5. So the two football teams, the big one, the moneymakers, are both underdogs.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At home by that, but it's corn with a K. So if you want to jam out to them, send your request to Nolan and Plaza for text line at 410-583-1057. Now, we heard Zach Orr, Nolan, talking about, you know, things going haywire and, you know, looking for the bigger intervention here. But more pertinent, I guess, is where are the turnovers, Zach Orr?
I think the first thing is we gotta get teams into more true drop back situations, man. And there's definitely opportunities to get the football. My mindset and our mindset is, shoot, there's every time we just 50, 60, 70 plays being played. So regardless of a team's running a ball or throwing a ball, shoot, knock the ball off of them. Let's go make a play. Let's get our hat on the football. So
I mean, you said it earlier, Bob. How? It's nice to say it. You haven't done it. We haven't got a turnover in, 3 weeks? Don't get sacks. How are we going to do it? You know, what are we going to do? I mean, you don't have to give me in total detail, but say we got a plan, you know, to do things, to fix it. You know, with the defensive line, how do we get it where they're coming off the ball and they're more physical? And, you know, I mean, got nothing. You know, and Bob, my question to you would be, okay, let's say they fire Zach and Chuck Pagano doesn't want to do it.
Well, based on the way his secondary is playing, would you want to elevate him into that level?
Well, he's been there, done that.
Right, got it. But we all assumed, by the way, from the beginning,
yes,
that he was going to be the de facto DC.
Totally.
So he could be as culpable as anyone right now for what's going on.
Yeah, we don't know who's doing what, you know, who's involved where, how involved is he on Sunday game days, because Harb said he was talking to him on the phone. Must have got the wrong line, right?
There's a disconnection. Yeah. All right, let's get out to the phones here with the people I have to say. 410-583-1057 is the number. We'll go to William in Northeast Baltimore. William, what's going on there, big guy?
Good morning, guys. I want to talk about any given Sunday, what it takes for the Ravens to upset the Rams.
Oof.
Well, that's turnovers, roll, baby. Let's do it.
Turnovers. We got to get some turnovers. Number one, you got to be able to run the football. You know, otherwise, you're not going to make first downs, and their defense is good. And I think the rain is big for the rain. I think the more wind and rain, better it is.
Let me start on the defense. Okay, on the defense. First of all, we've got to get a pass rush.
Well, no. Let's just start with, how about just being physical? Just start. Let's start with the basic. Let's be physical. And let's tackle well, and then let's stop the run and let's get a pass rush. Other than that, we're good.
Yes. Okay. And the corners got to play tight.
Yes.
Instead of 15 yards off the receiver.
Yeah. Otherwise, Puka will have 20 catches, 5 yards, and then we'll be 40 tackles missed.
Right. Now, I'm going to get on the offense. Before I get on the offense, I'm going to give Zach Orr a little bit of slack, and I'm putting it all on Harbaugh, because Harbaugh is the head coach. He's the head coach. He's the top guy.
Right. He hired him.
Right. He's the top guy, and he can make changes if he wants because he's the head coach. But on the offense, this is what they're going to have to do on the offense to upset the Rams. Number one, the offensive line must play better. That's number one. Second, they got to stay aggressive the whole game and keep scoring and keep scoring and keep scoring.
Yeah, because you can't be aggressive if you're 3rd and 10 all the time, because then the defense is aggressive.
I'm going to tell you why they're 3rd and 10. Because the head coach do not have enough coaching in him to get those players, the playmakers that they have, the ball. In other words, look at the receivers. The receivers are running the same route. When Lamar don't have time, he only have a couple seconds. Lamar thinks he got 6 seconds. He only have a couple. The receivers should be running a curl route, a slant route, because we have talented receivers that can do the jobs. Other teams do it. I watch a lot of games. And you look at these games where they bring guys off the practice squad with speed and use them. Everybody uses these guys but us. Example, you got Isaiah Likely. He's the number one receiver, period. 2 targets the whole game. That's ridiculous.
Well, they only ran 40 plays.
Hey, thanks, William.
They only ran 40 plays.
Yeah.
You know,
which John Harbaugh keeps stressing to me.
Yep.
Putting the onus on the offense for not generating enough plays, which puts more pressure on the defense.
Well, even Todd says in his, he says, you know, we got to get more play to protect the defense. I don't know if he slipped or what. We got to protect the defense.
Let's go to Tony in Rosedale. Tony, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Not much, man.
I want to comment real quick, since you guys pointed out, you know, Zach Wood talking about divine intervention, faith. I remember a while ago around here, player that said that, Glenn Davis, And Stan the Fan made a comment about that, and we all know how the Glenn Davis situation turned out.
When it was horrible. Orioles. Okay. Yeah, if that's out of Vinny's wheelhouse. Orioles traded for Glenn Davis, traded Curt Schilling, Pete Harner, Steve Finley, guys that turned out to be all-stars. And Glenn Davis went up. We know him best for getting beaten up by a bouncer in, like, Norfolk or something. But, yeah, to your point. Certainly I do. Bringing up the big guy, I got no problem with it, but I was more interested in his comments about why you're not forcing turnover.
Right.
Right. I think the weather, we just got to hope it's as bad as it can be to even this game out. And I want to ask Vinny a question. Vinny, you being a former GM, I want to know, what is the chain of command? Like, Zach was a defensive coordinator. You have a secondary coach, you have a linebacker coach, you have a D-line coach, you have a head coach. How does this all work out? Who reports to who, and who has the final say when it comes to the game planning or whatever? I mean,
usually the D-coordinator, like when I've been with, like in San Fran, I was with Ray Rhodes, who, you know, ended up getting a head coaching job and stuff. And then after he left, Jeff Fisher became the defensive coordinator. You know, so we always had, you know, quality guys. And in Washington, Mike Nolan, but I mean, we went through the same thing. And, you know, we had the number one offense, 32nd defense, and brought in Bill Arnsberger to help. And then we won the division. All right. Then the next year, Ray Rhodes came in. So we were good.
But his question, who decides these?
The D coordinator, each position is responsible for a specific area of the offense, you know, that they're studying. And then the D coordinator is looking at, he's like the head coach of the defense, and everybody is doing their little project thing, you know, to put their piece of the game plan together. Then they come together, you know, and the D coordinator kind of finalizes everything, putting it together, because he's the one calling it, and he's the one that's got to feel comfortable.
I guess what Tony was saying, I don't want to speak for you, Tony, and I'll see you Sunday, of course, but was it John Harbaugh's decision to hire Zach Orr?
Absolutely.
How much does the front office have to do with any of these decisions?
Like, let me just say this, Bob. I mean, like, when I was in San Fran, in San Fran, it was more the head coach and the president. Carmen Policy had a lot of input. Like GM and stuff? No. Like John McVay at the time? No. Dwight Clark at the time? No. In Washington, when I was the GM? No. I had, Norv Turner, I told Norv, you know, after we 99 years, because Mike, the whole defensive staff got fired. And I says, I said, Norv, let's go down to the Senior Bowl, interview some coaches. He said, no, you do it. You know, so.
Okay. All right, we're going to come back. Got Vinny's keys to victory. 410-583-1057 is the number you want to get in. So Vinny's going to tell you how the Ravens could pull the upset. 7.5-point favorites at home. We got Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner. Got the whip around. Talk more about what happened to Penn State against Clarkson. Take the last train to Clarkson and lose it at home on Banner night. Yep. Keith Kavanaugh previews Maryland and Nebraska, and then we'll do our picks. All three of us are 1-0-1, right?
Yes.
I didn't take the Giants, Nolan. You don't have it on tape, do you?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for Vinny's Keys to Victory.
All right, Ravens, Rams, 1 o'clock Sunday, M&T Bank Stadium on Fox. Baltimore Game Day Uncensored starts at 10 o'clock live from Brew Brothers Horseshoe Casino, brought to you by the law offices of Michael A. Friedman. But the Ravens are getting 7.5, Vinny. They've lost 3 in a row. Rams are coming in, long break, off a loss, so they're probably a little agitated to begin with. Mm-hmm. How do the Ravens pull the stunner?
Bob, I made this very simple. You know, number one, win the line of scrimmage, both sides of the ball. You know, and guy, both coordinators are talking about toughness and everything else. Talk about, you know, not getting anything on first down and not being able to stop the run, can't run it. You know, and we're getting sacked like crazy. Win a line of scrimmage. Both sides of the ball. You win a line of scrimmage, you can win this game. But that's biggest thing. I mean, real simple. Number two, win a time of possession. You want more plays? You want to stack first downs? Win a time of possession. Get them off the field. And then last but not least, Bob, win the turnover battle. If the Ravens have three turnovers, they're getting blown out again. But if they can get a couple turnovers, gives them a chance to win the game. I mean, to me, this is a real simple game for them because they're playing so poorly. If you just had one key, win the line of scrimmage. Just win the line of scrimmage.
Which is the most realistic key for them to reach?
None. I mean, just watching.
I mean, the turnover battle speaks for itself.
Yeah, I mean, you got Matthew Stafford, who's thrown two picks and 11 touchdowns. You know, so they don't do that. They have fumbled.
Maybe the time of possession. I mean, if you just let them score in three plays every time.
Well, then we got to make first downs.
Yeah. I mean, it's still on the Ravens offense at that point. But, yeah. I mean, they could be going the entire length of the field pretty quickly.
But, I mean, do we think Cooper Rush is the quarterback? I think so.
Lamar didn't practice yesterday.
Oh, you what? No, I'm talking about Cooper Rush or Huntley. That's what I'm talking
about.
Oh,
I got you. Yeah. We see both?
Maybe.
Early prediction? What do you think there, Nolan?
I think Rush starts. Yeah. And if he really, really struggles, they might switch.
Because Snoop gives you the running ability. He's not Michael Vick or Lamar. Let's not get to or Elway or Josh Allen. But Cooper Rush is less than that.
But let's just.
Rush gives you a better chance if you're trying to throw the football, I would think.
Yes. Yeah. You know, but they still got to. If they don't block, it doesn't matter who's back there.
You have Derrick Henry, and he hasn't done jack squat.
Yeah, he gets hit in the backfield. So, I mean, that's why we can win the line of scrimmage. Got a good chance, you know, because if they win a line of scrimmage, we're going to be second and five, third and short. And then all of a sudden, you can win a time of possession. So it all starts up front.
Stafford's been sacked 9 times through their first 5 games. So Ravens are, what, next to last or tied for next to last in sacks. So we'll get into all of that and more with Jonas Schaefer, top of the hour. We'll come back, take your phone calls, however, at 410-583-1057. Featured Artist Friday, it's Corn with a K, the band, the new metal. Freak on a Leash. I remember that's kind of their big hit. We'll get into that and more. Got the whip around 11:15. There was a game last night in the NFL. What the hell's going on in Philadelphia? Bad day for Philly sports fans. And then Keith Kavanaugh previews Maryland, Nebraska. That's 11:30. Dante and White Marsh. Dante, thanks for holding. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing, man?
All right.
I'm out here cutting, so I just had to cut my engine off real quick. Well, I totally agree with everything y'all said, man, when it comes to Zach Gordon, man. He's approaching this situation like a baby. You know, like I said, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, right? But you guys are Catholic. We all believe in God.
Correct. Okay? Yep.
He ain't got nothing to do with this. We in war right now. You know what I'm saying? Tighten up, Zach Gordon, because right now, the way I feel, Zach Gordon does not understand the Baltimore way, man. He don't understand the Baltimore way. And I'ma just say this. If I had one wish, I would wish that Ray Lewis would take over and call all of the old souls back and let's revamp this thing. You guys have a wonderful Friday, man.
All right. Thank you, Dante. Said he was a Jehovah's Witness. Dante, if you're listening, I won't be home tomorrow, so don't bother banging on my door at 10 o'clock in the morning when I'm actually out on the deck. But it's like the Orioles. Hey, let's bring Cal Ripken back and Jim Palmer's pitching coach and everything. You can go back to the past all you want, man. Ray Lewis has no coaching experience. Ed Reed does to some level. But is John Harbaugh want to go down that road?
No.
By the way, Zach Gore did play for the Ravens and was the second team all pro his last year. So he does understand the way. I didn't know if he's up to the challenge of being a defensive coordinator.
Well, all right, let's just Mike McDonald, Bob. Let's go back. Mike McDonald was like a GA here. Then he went to he was a linebacker coach at Georgia and stuff. And then he was here with the Ravens. And then Harb sent him to Michigan to be the coordinator. Jim sent him to, or John sent him to Jim, you know, and be the coordinator. All right, then what did he do the next year? He got a year of coordinator under his belt. Then he came back, you know, as coordinator here. So he had some experience in big-time football at Michigan, you know, but Zach came here with nothing.
He had never called plays before.
Yeah, I mean, and you're going against Andy Reid, the first guy. I mean, you know, even Mike McDonald, who coached, I mean, for what, the first three or four games, he struggled mightily.
There was the game against the Dolphins where blew a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And then the next week blew another one against the Bills.
Yeah, and then but you saw growth.
Sure.
Where here, we're seeing it's getting worse. And that's and the thing about it is you know, the rule of holes, you know, is, you know, if you're trying to dig, you got to stop digging to get out of the hole. And we keep digging in deeper and deeper.
Let's get back to the phones. Dominic in Columbia. Dominic, what's up? Happy Featured Artist Friday.
Hey, good morning, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I was calling. You got to kind of my thunder, stole my thunder a little bit. What's up with the Chucks, man? I mean, Chuck Pagano, we thought, even though Zach Orr was a little inexperienced, that he'd bring some experience to the room. But it looks like our defensive backfield has gotten worse instead of better. We thought that he'd be a boost. And then the other Chuck is Chuck Smith, the supposed to be the pass rush guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, so we invested a lot of draft picks, a lot of picks into that line, you know, with Ojabo and Owe and Green. Is he really the pass rush guru we thought?
Well, let me ask you this.
That's a fair question, though.
Yeah, but last year, Van Noy had 12.5 sacks and Owe had 10. And the year before that, Matabike had 13.5, you know. And now Matabike's out, Owe's out to California because he had no sacks, and Van Noy's been hurt or whatever. But Mike Green has not progressed much at all. And nobody. We got nobody. Oh, yeah. We got doing it. Travis Jones done nothing.
But the Pagano one, he's got like a bunch of first round draft picks he's playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. My old way and Ojabo, I mean, they just, he's never, I don't know whether it's, they can't do it, but they don't seem, he got 10 sacks, but a lot of them was running away from other guys.
No, I totally agree with that. But, you know, when you look at the whole team.
Hey, thanks, Tom.
You look at the whole team. Who is playing good? Who's played good this year? Lamar started out.
He was brilliant.
You know, Zay Flowers started out. Andrews is playing pretty decent catching
for
the football.
Three quarters, Derrick Henry was the beast that we all know him to be.
But ever since that Buffalo game, everybody's regressed.
Let's go to Ed Narbutus. Ed, what's up?
Bob, Benny, good morning to you, gentlemen.
Morning, Ed.
Just a little bit today. If you have to cut me off, Bob, it's fine. Local rooting interest teams that I've always pulled for. Ravens like the solution mode acquisitions to bolster their roster with experienced plug-and-play ball hawks. The brass is sending a welcome message. Tanking is not an option this year. Truly believe we're going to start seeing significant upbeat A-game effort in all phases and all personnel, players and coaches alike. They didn't sit on their hands. Terrapins. Coming off a home loss that they surely should have won. Numerous times last week, I saw after the play gyrations of taunting, of which the refs warned them each time, but it didn't stop and was eventually flagged late. It's detrimental. Knock it off. They also did not identify the best opposition offensive threat talent to neutralize. Washington receiver Boston torched the turf second half. Good sign. After the lead was squandered, freshman quarterback Malik Washington last possession threw a perfect over-the-shoulder right seam dime. Terp receiver couldn't corral it, but it was in his hands.
It was Farouk, beautiful throw.
Yeah, if he catches that, Terps may have found the end zone for the comeback victory. Orioles, on-field managerial candidate. Need to hire someone who understands how to compete in every game. It starts on the mound, complemented with squeaky clean team defense. Offense is always an up-down variable, but fundamental adherence to team defense can be in every game constant. Stay in the game to win a game. Mike Bordick, if he has desired interest, would teach it, stress it,
and adhere to it at all positions. No doubt in my mind he has the pedigree. That's it, gentlemen. I appreciate your courtesy.
Thank you, Ed. Have a great weekend. And we talked about, well, you brought it up yesterday. Yeah, free tickets. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
But squeaky, they were terribly flawed fundamentally, the Orioles. I mean, wrong cutoff, man, and booting ground balls and all of this. Situational hitting's been a problem going back for over a year. All right, one more call. We got time, Nolan. Nolan says yes. Trey and Joppa. Trey, thanks for holding. What's happening?
What's happening, fellas?
How you doing?
Man, not bad. I love it. I'm on after Bob. That's a man, Bob. That's a guy who's been on the sideline. That's a guy
that's
who's
Ed,
been in the huddle once or twice in his life.
Ed. That's Ed. You
Ed,
just
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. Ed. Sorry about that, my man. But yeah, I love Ed. But just get my Maryland prediction in real quick too. Probably gonna be the game tomorrow. It was a tough one last week, but you know what? It's lessons in that. It's lessons in that, and every game from Malik. It's like OJT. It's on the job training. He's learning experiences. You know what I mean? That to me, that game got away, but I don't look at that game as the same old Maryland.
Right.
I still like this team, and I think the future bright. We bounce back this week and we'll beat Nebraska. I'm going to say 27-24. We beat them. On to the Ravens. It's funny, man. I'm a gambling guy. This is the game that gets lost every week. This is the game that nobody sees coming. This is the game that, at the end of it, how did the Rams lose that game? I think the Ravens.
He's fading in and out. Trey, sorry about that, dude. We were losing you. I think, to his point, how did the Rams lose that game? That was last Thursday against San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that happening 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
I agree with the Maryland thing, Trey, though.
I think
they bounced back.
The only thing is, Bob, is the Niners stopped him on that fourth down on the goal line. I don't think the Ravens could.
Yeah. And even McVay took blame, said it's a terrible play call.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. We'll come back. Jonas Schaefer, get his thoughts on the Ravens and Rams. Can the Ravens pull the stunner? They've lost three in a row. They're 7.5-point dogs at home before the bye. And if they lose this one, they get trounced. What kind of changes are going to be happening during that bye week?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.